My ask this week is, you know, it's status quo on the ass. I think I have to get it injected. I mean, it sounds like, yeah, I'm getting my ass injected for some cosmetic reason, but no, it's a hamstring tear. It's the same hamstring tear. And surgery is like really hard there, right? I mean, what am I supposed to be, a plank while I'm healing? If they can sew the hamstring together. Anyway, it's just not pleasant. And then I was out walking the dog and I sneezed.
No.
I sneezed, Dale, and I pulled a muscle somehow in me, in my other thigh area, just by sneezing. I didn't move.
Oh, I know. Sometimes when I've had back issues, the sneezing is just like, it's like an, you know, someone lobs a grenade in your house and it's just like, oh my God. And how do you need to try to muffle it? And we're our own worst enemies sometimes.
It does feel better though, too.
I was audacious enough to consider that I could sit down and tie my shoes.
Oh, now that's just hubris. You can't tie your shoes when you bend over. Are you kidding? Of course you're going to injure something.
My butler had the day off, so it was like, okay.
Well, this is the problem.
Yeah.
How are you?
Oh.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. Wait, what have you heard?
I did tell you I talked to Dale AI and he gave me a lot of misinformation about your health. So you need to clear it up with him.
Okay, well, I think that's interesting for multiple reasons. One, that you prompted him to ask about my health, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's strange.
Yeah.
I mean, although I guess my medical records are probably easy enough to access.
That's what's worrisome, because somebody or some database has given Dale AI some information about you. You may or may not want to look into it. Uncertain.
Just what do you think you're doing, Dave? Uncertain.
I can't think about that today. I'll think about that tomorrow. Uncertain.
You can't handle the truth.
Uncertain. You know how to whistle, don't you? You just put your lips together.
Do you feel lucky?
That's all.
Come on up and see me sometime. Oh.
We have a great show here today because we are going to depart from our usual reviews about movies that have been around a while, like us, that we think uncertain agers would really like to reconsider and rewatch. That is, if they missed them the first time, or to, you know, rewatch, like I said. And we are going to talk about a current television show, a streaming television show, because a 75-year-old I met out walking the dogs asked about it. And she said, you know, I hear about this Only Murders in the Building. What do you think about it? Should I get Hulu and watch it? Yeah. I mean, it's fun and it's populated by people over 50. And in this case, two of its stars are over 70. So yeah, this is in our demographic.
Squarely. Yes.
Right. Only Murders in the Building. And it is a feast for true crime lovers. They have three going on four, what do you call them?
Seasons.
Yeah.
The first season, right?
I haven't watched the third season, but I loved the first two. So don't tell me anything about the third season, but I know Meryl Streep is in it. This is what's amazing.
Uncertain.
So it's set in the fictional giant Upper West Side New York City building called the Arconia, and it is where all the action takes place. It is actually shot in an Upper West Side building called the Bell Nord, and they didn't get permission to use that building, I gather, until 2 weeks before they began principal photography, and it was in the middle of COVID on top of all that. There are a lot of beautiful old giant apartment buildings like this that have interior courtyards like the Apthorpe, the Dakota, where, of course, Rosemary's Baby was set, and outside of which John Lennon, rest in peace, was killed. And the Ansonia, which was, I remember walking by this building all the time. It was on Broadway and 72nd Street, I believe. And they have interior courtyards and driveways, different types of apartments. And because of the history, a lot of the corridors and secret passageways that make the building in Only Murders a building that provides a lot of opportunity for interesting storytelling. Did you have any feelings about that building?
No, that was great. I definitely have not gone to New York, but I am familiar with it. Yeah, I just was the Dakota. It kind of reminded me of that. And for some reason, how, as someone who has not been to New York, just the idea that there could be an apartment building that basically is like a small city is sort of beyond my comprehension. So I loved having this opportunity just to see all these different types of people folding over each other, interacting with each other. No, it was beautiful.
You know, and these apartments were at one point rent controlled. Not anymore. I think the lowest price one is $3 million in the Belnor,
yes,
not in the fictional Arconia. But each season, correct me if I'm wrong, solves a murder that happened in the building. So these changing storylines require new characters each season, but the three main characters solving the crimes are constant. Steve Martin as Charles, who is a failed, previously, possibly still working TV actor.
Yeah.
Martin Short is Oliver, who's allegedly a Broadway director, although it's questionable. What did you think? What do you think of his character?
What do I think of his character? Well, I mean, just allegedly a Broadway director. It's like, I just didn't know if like, yeah, he had directed Broadway musicals. I just didn't know what your criteria was for to be called a Broadway director. Do you have to always be directing Broadway? Like once you stop eligible?
No, but he just, I love him. His character is great. It's just that he seems so far removed from the Broadway of today.
Mm, yeah, definitely. He's sort of like trapped in that sort of, I don't know, Andrew Lloyd Webber era kind of.
Maybe, yeah, that kind of thing. And then Selena Gomez is the young whippersnapper in the group. All of them have apartments in the building. And she's living in her aunt's apartment, which I guess just is supposed to be renovated, but getting work in New York, getting workers to come for no money or the budget that she has to fix up this apartment. They just never come. So the apartment never gets fixed. I don't know if it got fixed in season three. You'll have to tell us.
Sure. I believe that was, yes, because she is readying a potential new chapter in her life. So, yes.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to see it for sure. There are lots of recurring characters and they're stars. Nathan Lane, Meryl Streep, Martin Rudd. Martin Rudd? Not Martin Rudd.
Paul Rudd?
What's his name? Paul Rudd. Oh my God, I show my age at all points. Paul Rudd.
Amy Schumer.
Yeah, Amy Schumer.
Crazy.
Yes. So these people have friends. It really helps to have friends so you can do this. But it's tapped into this huge audience that we were talking about earlier. The New York Times had an article, I think like within the last 2 weeks. Okay, right now it is October the 14th. And it is about how boomers are saving television, network television. It's the only constant age group that is still watching network television. And so now the network TV stations are programming for boomers, like with The Golden Bachelor that I haven't seen yet. But if somebody wants us to take a look at that, please email us when the Uncertain Age website gets up there. But Murder, She Wrote, they've brought back. Matlock. And Matlock is coming back as a TV show starring Kathy Bates, who's in our age group. So it's sort of like, hey, they are noticing that people our age are buying tickets. We want programming for us. And voila. So thank you, whoever is making these shows bringing them back online to say that you're acknowledging we're here. Now, maybe it's just a selfish thing for their part. They just want the advertising dollars for all these anti-aging medications and adult diapers and whatever else. For like shots for the ass and things like that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But so I'm happy about the fact that these shows exist because they're like comfort food. They are the cozy mysteries. We don't ever see any violence. We see the post violence, maybe some trickles of blood. I don't remember seeing major blood, but maybe there has been. But if we do, it's after the fact. And if we see something happening in real time, it's shadowy and it's non-confrontational. So as far as the Puck Index, possibly upsetting criteria, again, for if you're just tuning in, I'm not seeing it. Are you?
You're specifically talking about Only Murders, right?
Yeah, specifically Only Murders.
Okay. I didn't know if we were sort of doing the umbrella of the whole cozy murder thing. And I just love the fact that boomers are like, hey, we're sorry about the environment, but we'll save network TV for you. How about that? So yay. Puck stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this is very like, you know, if, you know, Kenneth Branagh's mustache and Agatha Christie bothers you, then you're going to be bothered. But I think if you're just used to or accustomed to this kind of the format of, you know, as you said, there's nothing grisly. There's not like, oh my God, you know, Sting has been eviscerated by a weasel. You know, that didn't happen. But you know, there's like little pools of blood, you know, if that's sort of unsettling to you. So I don't feel like there's anything like that. There is, it's on Hulu. And so if you are going like, oh, I really need me some Matlock or I need me some McMillan and Wife, just the fact that it's on Hulu, there is some language, right? You're going to hear words that you're not going to hear on like an adult, like a adult detective show from the 70s. So there is a little language. Some adult themes, there is some, I think, drug use, perhaps some mental illness. I think Selena Gomez's character and her as an actress struggles. So there's some, if that's a trigger, then so be it. But yeah, it feels very, based on the zeitgeist, it seems very light. And I think puck-wise, you'll do fine.
Yeah, it's like I said before, it just feels like comfort food. It's stuff, the kind of show we grew up on.
Yeah,
for sure. It's also been nominated for everything from a Golden Globe to a Primetime Emmy. Do you know if it's won any of these things? It probably has.
I think it's just been nommed, but I don't know. That could have changed, but I know that it instantly, like the first season, I can't attest to the second season, but I remember the Emmys being like, hey, you guys, you know, you up-and-comers, Steve Martin, Martin Short, we got our eyes on you. Maybe next time. But I don't know. If there was only some way we could find out. Uncertain.
And now a word from our sponsor.
You know, as I've gotten older, my eyesight just isn't as good as it used to be. Oh, I can still tell a harmless asexual from a dangerous pedophile, sure. It's the teeny tiny type on my medication bottles that gets me. But now, there's Wowza eye drops. Just one drop in each of your peepers and wowza! I can see as well as I did when I was 10 years old. I can beat all the kids at the Easter egg hunts, and I went to 5 of them last year. Score! I'm the one spots Matt Damon 5 rows away at a Red Sox game. Or what's his name? The host of the nighttime show on a... Oh, what's that station? Well, my memory's not so great, but I can see everything after I drop Wowza eye drops in. That's the point. Now, if you go to wowza.wow, you can get 2 bottles for the price of 1. And you tell him that Uncertain Lady sent you. You'll be glad you did. Wowza eye drops are not real, but the hosts sure wish they were because mostly they like Easter egg hunts. Not paid for by any actual corporation or anyone else for that matter. All rights reserved. LLC, PC, BBN, SESP.
Really, you know, this is a whole nother separate topic about what streamers think people want to see and what they want to have value, because this is a throwback kind of a show.
When you're talking about comfort, I think it's what makes it really unique to me is that it is so unique, yet, but it's also intensely comforting, right? And I think the timing was really good because our viewing habits kind of changed during the pandemic. And so I think it really set the stage for a show like this that's like, hey, this is sharp, it's witty, it's new, it's edgy in places, but it's very familiar. The formula itself is super familiar, which I loved. And it's also, I love how self-aware it is. You know, they, especially season 3, there's a lot of references to, like, you know, Martin Short is like, oh, you know, this season I'm just screwing up all over the place. Or, you know, there's, because they're talking about their podcast that they're doing, but they're also sort of speaking outside and talking about the show itself. And so there's a lot of those little touches that, I don't know, make it really sharp.
Yeah. And it gets into, like, Steve Martin is occasionally dating. And in the first season, it doesn't go so well. And Martin Short has a son. He was not there for his son during the part of his career where he was very successful. So the issues that are within the show as they're solving the crimes are pertinent to us at our ages. You know, what do you do when you're 70? And you've lost your spouse, either through divorce or death, and you want to start dating again? Well, I guess Steve Martin's getting He gets a lot of dates, I would think. Steve Martin could probably date most people.
In season three, he has, romantic interactions with Andrea Martin.
Oh.
So yes, there's that. As did Martin Short and Meryl Streep kind of have a will they, won't they sort of thing going on in season three. It's delightful to watch that unfold. Sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not.
Right. And CAC? What do you think of the CAC?
CAC.
Casting. Casting appropriate.
I just always have a visceral reaction, as I'm sure our listeners do, to just the sound.
Yes, pack.
Takes a while to like, okay. I feel like it's dead on, right? Because Steve Martin, I think 77, Martin Short 72. And I think you mentioned Selena Gomez as the baby is actually, turns 30 in season three. So I think everyone is spot on. Even like, and there's a rich and diverse, ever rotating selection of supporting actors too that come in. I think, and Tina Fey, I think figures prominently definitely in season one and two. She plays someone in her late 40s. She's late 40s. So I think CAC is dead on. All the characters are portrayed by actors who are of that age.
Yeah. And I'm blanking on her last name. Amy, the cellist in the first episode, the first season.
Right, right. I'm blanking on the name too, just from The Office. But yeah.
Sorry, Amy. You were really good in all your roles.
You're so good that we've forgotten your surname and we just accept who you are in the media we consume.
So, and also, she is quite a bit younger than Steve Martin, isn't she? I think quite a bit younger.
Yeah, I would assume. She probably at least 20 years, if not more. Right.
So that could be a trigger for some people thinking, oh, she'd never go out with that guy.
Yeah.
But maybe she watched Brazos, Steve Martin's character's TV show, Brazos, where he was a crime fighting, not swashbuckling.
Yeah, that seems kind of like grooming, though. Right. I mean, it's just kind of weird. Maybe she was a little girl watching it on TV. That's just the more I talk, the more I want to shower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'd be like me going after Telly Savalas back in the day.
At least you'd know who would love you, right? Because it would be you, babe.
You, babe. So I understand it's on Hulu, but people can also watch on Disney Plus. Things move around.
Things do move
this
around.
This is what I...
Yeah, you got to...
Just looked it up. Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. So is there anything you hate about it?
Oh, God, I still want to talk about how much I like it.
Okay. Yeah, all right. You go. Go.
Yeah,
go
maybe
for
I'll...
There's lots more to like.
Have you seen Schmigadoon?
Bits of it, yes.
Okay. This sort of reminds me of like when we were talking about the genres and approaching sort of an establishing, I think Schmigadoon kind of does that too, where it's being a musical, sort of like a wide-eyed musical, but it's also a little bit of a wink and gets away with it. Anyway, so I feel like, again, that's sort of another, maybe the pandemic kind of birthed that sort of clever comfort food. Let me see what I... dislike about it, I would have to say, like I finished season three. There definitely is a formula. And I feel like if you're approaching this series with a sort of, I want to figure out who committed the murder, that I think that angle is sort of limiting and sometimes disappointing because almost it became more evident to me as the show went on. But like if someone is sort of revealed in a certain way in the early episodes, like, I wonder if that, you immediately know that person is not going to be it because you know through the format that you're going to go through a couple of potential, at least potential suspect murderers until you arrive at the actual murderer or murderers. And I felt like, I just felt like by season three, I was starting to identify that. So I kind of disconnected from that aspect of it a little bit and just sort of was writing, how fun it is and the characters and all that, but not really fixating in that because I knew that it would take a few episodes to really take that aspect seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense because you're smart and you figured out the formula just by watching three seasons.
Right. And that's hard. I mean, cake, eat it too, bed, sleep in it too kind of thing, right? It's like you're dealing with an established, comforting genre and you're playing by these rules. So sometimes the rules are going to, be a little obvious once you've played a few times.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes that is the comfort, like Peter Falk's show. Remember that one? Columbo.
Columbo. Yeah.
Did you ever watch Columbo? I don't know if that's one of the ones that they've been bringing back, but that's really comfort food, because the whole theory there, the whole process of each show was that the audience knew who the bad guy was. But the interesting part was watching Columbo figure it out.
Right. And that, I feel like Poker Face is directly tapping into that Columbo energy, because it also has the same format. And yeah. Sasha Leone kind of has that same, like, what you're saying is this, excuse me, help me out with that. You know, so there's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
That is the most directly Columbo. But that also is wonderful comfort food, but also it's super edgy. And I feel like on an episode by episode basis, it's really strong. I mean, it's only had one season, so we'll see how it carries out. But there's some wonderful, wonderful co-stars. And anyway, that's another one to check out too. It's not quite as cozy as Only Murders.
We really wanted to focus in on the fact that the two main leads here are over 70. And this is great.
They've known each other for like 50 years. I mean, they met during Saturday Night Live. You know, that's when I became, you know, just obsessed with Steve Martin when I was a little kid. And I had Wild and Crazy Guy and Let's Get Small and Comedy's Not Pretty. I mean, I actually bought his albums. That's wonderful. And then I was a huge Second City fan. Once I kind of graduated from Saturday Night Live, I went to Second City and then saw Martin Short and read his biography. It's just great. Apparently, he got a lot of flack from Andrea Martin and Catherine O'Hara for like, because all the characters that Martin Short wanted to do, they were always like just intensely off-putting to the rest of the cast, like had to have some sort of, you know, fake teeth or some sort of like irritating thing. But anyway.
I must say.
And then they were in the Three Amigos. They were two of the Three Amigos.
Mm-hmm.
So they have like built-in rapport that is so obvious. And it's so wonderful just to watch them rip off each other. It's so nuanced, their interactions.
And I saw them together recently. They had that show that was touring around, just Martin and Steve. And they're just like an oiled machine, but in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, didn't seem like they were phoning it in or anything. They were just clearly like each other and enjoying being on stage together. And yeah, they'd probably still rather be home in their living room watching like some cozy mystery movie, but they act like there's no place they'd rather be. They're having the most fun. So that's another thing. If you ever get a chance to see them together.
I believe, well, first up, I think Steve Martin was like resistant to do Only Murders initially, but then it became a success because he was getting ready to retire, I believe. And then this sort of happened and he thought he'd give it a go, had no idea how popular it'd be. And I think one of his conditions was that Martin Short be his co-star.
I don't know the truth of that. He was one of the creators of the show with John Hoffman. And the two of them were going around New York looking at buildings, and that's how they got to the Belknor. After the Ansonia turned them down. And as I said in the beginning, they didn't get the right to shoot at the Belknor, which is, they're just used the exteriors there for the Arconia, till 2 weeks before they were to begin principal photography. As far as the casting, Steve Martin, I thought he was always going to be in it, but maybe I have that wrong. I don't know. Doesn't matter. I'm glad he's in it.
No, I'm glad too. I think I felt like he was resistant to have his involvement be... Sorry, my dogs just both burst in, like for some no reason. Okay.
Really?
One last thing I was just going to say. Sometimes I was really surprised. I am continually surprised at how no matter like Steve Martin, the Martins have that, you know, charisma and that rapport, but how easily Selena Gomez fits into that. Like on paper, it shouldn't work, but it really does work. But what I was going to say when I'm talking about dislikes, it feels like sometimes the writers want to push a romantic B story on her. And I feel like that's not really necessary. And I feel like that's kind of like the weak spot of the show. I don't really care about that. And it's no disrespect to her, but it seems, that always seems like the awkward, like it's like, oh, she's young, so therefore we're going to put this love story B story on her, and not my favorite aspect of the show. Okay.
Okay. So I don't hate anything about the show, but I just have a question of the producers and writers. The Belknor, AKA the Arconia, has 290 apartments in the building. So as we move into season four, is that not a 2% murder rate of occupants? I know they don't want to leave the building, but at this rate, I think they're going to need to find a murder outside the building, or they're going to have to deal with, in the plot lines, people wanting to move out because people are getting murdered. Now, that may have happened in season three, but I don't know. It just seems like they're a little bit lazy, these crime-solving threesome, or it's a dangerous building to live in.
Mm-hmm. Like the end of season two that set up season three, the finale of season three does have a murder, and that kind of sets the tone for what you're expecting season four to be, which looks like more of the same, but with a little twist. And I won't spoil it for anyone. So it literally still follows the title, but there's an added wrinkle to it. It's sort of like how the end of season two, you're like, wait, this death is happening, but it's not literally in, you know, anyway.
Well, we hope you have enjoyed this episode of Only Murders in the Building, and that you'll seek that out, like I said, Hulu and possibly Disney Plus, but just Google it or however you Bing it or other search engines, and you will probably find it somewhere. If you have video stores in your hometown, ours has Hulu shows in DVD. So I'm Anna Nicholas.
And I'm, as always, Dale Basie. We're uncertain about a great many things,
but not what we're doing here. So have a great week, and you have a great week, and Dale's going to tell you to have a great week too.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, thank you for preparing people for my goodwill. Yeah, have a great week. Have two great weeks. Why not? You deserve it. Take care. Godspeed. Don't get murdered. Have a great week or several.
Stay out of the building.
I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. J.
Uncertain. Do you feel lucky?
That's all. Uncertain. Come on up and see me sometime.